All right. This is at least the last rabbit trail for the foreseeable future, I will say. As I mentioned last week, as we have made our way through Acts, there have been a couple of things that required perhaps a deeper look. The baptism of the Spirit was the first one. Last week, we looked at prophecy. Where does prophecy stand in the church today? And this week, we're going to look at fasting. Because for the church today and Christians today, when we come across those passages, we see them, but then we kind of just go whipping by a little faster. Well, how does that really flesh out and apply? They did it then. It seems like they did it a lot then. But we don't do it so much today, and we don't talk about it much today. And that probably ought not be so. So, with that, here begins the second rabbit trail in so many weeks. And we'll talk about fasting here. Why do non-religious people fast today? Oh, good. Perfect. Cleansing, Corbin says. Cleansing.
PT test.
PT test. To drop what?
Protest.
To protest. Okay. You know, they're going to starve themselves, start to protest an issue. Anything else comes to mind? Just go sit in front of him, eat a cheeseburger.
Right. You're really making a difference. I'm sorry.
Okay. So those are some of the reasons I thought of also when I think of non-religious people fasting. They do. Now, why do religious people fast? I mean, do religious people fast?
Muslims fast.
I'm sorry?
Muslims fast.
Yeah, Ramadan.
Okay, Ramadan. Okay, how do they fast? Do they fast the whole month?
Sunrise, sunset.
Yeah, well, it's daylight, they don't eat, and then at night.
Excellent. So when the sun is down, then they eat, but when it is up, they do not. Say, any other religious groups fast?
The occasional Christian.
Okay, I mean...
Catholics do.
Yes, okay. What? Anybody...
Fridays when they eat fish only.
Okay, when is that?
Lent.
They fast during Lent, and they make the huge sacrifice of giving up meat on Fridays, but they can eat fish. We Protestants go, we scoff there, you know, not eating meat. Well, okay, again, I'll eat my cheeseburger. Do religious people fast only food?
No.
Okay, what other kind of fasts could you have?
Television.
Okay, I'm going to have a TV fast.
Facebook.
Ooh, yeah, you see people, I'm going to take a Facebook break here for 15 minutes, and then I'll be back.
Marital relations.
Paul talks about taking a fast. There, we're actually not going to touch on that one.
Yeah, please don't.
We'll not plant that seed in it. Sorry.
Expository, all of it. Even the hard stuff.
And that's how the Everetts were just communicated.
Football. It's Sunday. Football's on. Football fast. Oh, yeah.
Doesn't that happen starting in January?
Yeah, we call those the dark ages. All right. True confessions here. I've fasted in the past. And I have fasted because the Bible has said to fast. Therefore, I'm going to fast. I am a Christian and I am fasting. And got nothing out of it. Because I was fasting. I did it. I'm a Christian. I fasted. You know, I don't know that I was parading it around. My family had to deal with it. There's a funny story that comes out of that, but I won't bring that up because it'd be recorded.
You don't have to name names.
No, I won't even go there. Why do why do Protestant churches not fast? Why has it really, it's not a discipline. We talk about studying the word. We talk about being constant in prayer. Why do we not fast?
It's too hard.
It's not part of our culture, tradition. It's not a routine. I think it's also for the same reason we don't pray. Because God's going to, it's in His control. So what difference am I going to make?
Yeah. You know, and in truth, again, I look back on my own experience, and I go, I seemed so Pharisaical while I was doing it. I'm fasting. Yes, I'm hungry and I'm fasting. And it's like, that is, and we're going to get to Jesus' words here in a little bit, and man, that is exactly when, how not to fast. So, but I think we all know here and understand that we are, as Christians, supposed to fast. What is the first fast spoken of in Scripture?
Cast out demons. Oh, the first one in Scripture?
Yeah.
Moses.
I actually went to Adam.
Oh, okay.
A man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife.
You kidding me? That's funny.
Took
your day job.
Okay. All right. But Jerry was right. First fast we hear about, really in Scripture, is Moses.
Yeah.
Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 9. Deuteronomy chapter 9. Stephanie, would you read 9 to 11 of chapter 9 in Deuteronomy?
When I went up on the mountain to receive the tables of stone, the tablets of the covenant that the Lord had made with you, I stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. I ate no bread and drank no water.
Through 11, 9 to 11.
Okay. The Lord gave me 2 stone tablets inscribed by the finger of God. On them were all the commandments of the Lord proclaimed to you on the mountain out of the fire on the day of the assembly. At the end of the 40 days and 40 nights, the Lord gave me the 2 stone tablets, the tablets of the covenant.
Okay. If you go back to Exodus and read chapter 20 where the 10 commandments are given, the 10 commandments are given, and it appears that Moses is speaking with Israel right after that. So the whole context of this is a little bit complicated there. But it appears that Moses was on the mountain for 40 days, 40 nights. And what kind of fast did he go through?
Complete water.
Okay. Can you survive for 40 days without water? You can't. So Scripture, the skeptic would go, scoff.
Yep.
And the Christian retorts with what?
God.
It's a miracle.
Yep.
In the beginning, God. Okay. Why is Moses up on the mountain in the first place?
God.
Who called him there? God. Did he tell him how long he was going to be there? No. What did he do for 40 days?
Hopefully listened.
Okay, again, think.
He was ministered by God.
Think of your skeptical self. And think of what atheists will say about heaven. How do they picture heaven? Boredom. Boring. Okay. Moses is with
God.
With
life itself.
Okay. on a few occasions, not nearly as often as I would like. Hopefully she would say the same thing. Tracy and I get away for a time. Okay? And it's great. It's great. We do dinner, we'll walk, we'll see plays, we'll go to ball games. But the delight of that time is her. Yeah, we could just be sitting in a room. We could be sitting in a restaurant. I'd be reading the paper, she'll be reading her book, I'll work a crossword puzzle together. Ah, what a joy. Just to be with her. Okay. Think of the joy that you get being with your best friend. Moses is with God. It doesn't get any better than that. Okay, and so I'm going to flip. You can flip if you want to. Just a single verse. In Exodus 33, there's an extraordinary statement here. It's reiterated in Deuteronomy 34, but in Exodus 33, verse 11, it says, "The Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend." Deuteronomy makes plain that God didn't do that with people. But God did that with Moses. And so you see this intimacy between Moses and God.
What verse again was that?
33:11. Exodus 33:11. Okay, and he sustained him. How much better is God than food? I mean, when I went up to see Austin a few days ago, had a ribeye up there. Oh, wow. Prepared by a chef. Oh, at the place where he works. It was marvelous. God is so much better than that ribeye. Okay? It's a matter of perspective. No, he didn't get bored for 40 days and 40 nights. And I would contend he didn't even realize he was hungry for those 40 days and 40 nights, because God was his full and complete satisfaction. So why did Moses fast? I don't know. They went, "Oh, I'm going to fast here." But it happened. It was without food or water. And
that's something like heaven's going to be like, you're not going to really need food and water.
It's going to take on a whole new... We're going to go sequentially here through some other fasts here in 1 Samuel chapter 7. 1 Samuel chapter 7, the Ark of the Covenant got taken away by the Philistines. And ultimately just came back here and was in Kiriat Jearim. 1 Samuel chapter 7. Verse 5, Samuel says, "Gather all Israel at Mitzpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you." So they gathered at Mitzpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, "We have sinned against the Lord." And Samuel judged the people of Mitzpah. Okay. So the people fasted and... prayed, and in their prayer, what did they do? They confessed. Okay, they confessed their sin. In 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 12, David hears of Saul's death. And in 2 Samuel 1, verse 12, David fasts. Why is he fasting? Mourning. He's fasting in his grief. I mean, did David go, "Oh, Saul has died, therefore I am going to fast"? No, he didn't want any food. He wanted to he wanted to savor his memory of one that meant much to him, to grieve over him, and so he went without food. David fasts again a little bit later when his son is struck. After Nathan says, "You are the man, your son is going to die." And immediately before he said, "Your son is going to die," before he said, "You are the man," David repented. Before he heard the consequence, it wasn't like he was trying to make nice with God. He repented of his sin. He recognized his sin. "I have sinned." Heart was broken. You can read about it in the Psalms, about his broken heart. God says, "Your son is going to die." And so David starts to fast. Why? The son isn't dead yet.
Perhaps the Lord will change his mind.
Yes! You know, he's like, "I am going to plead with God for help." Not one of my 15-second prayers. Well, that was... No, he's day and night pleading with God on behalf of his son. And he fasted. Until when? When did he stop his fast? When his son died, got up, cleaned up. And his advisors were like, "Isn't that backwards?" It's like, I can't go and be with... My son can't come back to be with me now. But I will go one day and be with him. You can read all that played out in 2 Samuel chapter 12, 16 to 22. Turn to 1 Kings. This is perhaps one of the most interesting examples of a fast. 2 Kings chapter 21. There's a skunk of a king named Ahab. And because he was a whiny man, his wicked wife took matters into her hand and had a vineyard owner named Naboth killed so that her whiny, pusillanimous husband could get that vineyard that he wanted, that Naboth wouldn't give to him. First Kings 21:25. "There was none who sold himself to do what was evil in the sight of the Lord, like Ahab, whom Jezebel his wife incited. He acted very abominably in going after idols, as the Amorites had done, whom the Lord cast out before the people of Israel." Now, just before this, Elijah brings his condemnation on Ahab and tells him the kind of fate that God has in store for him. Verse 27, "When Ahab heard those words, he tore his clothes and put sackcloth on his flesh and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went about dejectedly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, 'Have you seen how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he has humbled himself before me, I will not bring the disaster in his days, but in his son's days, I will bring the disaster upon his house.'" Why did Ahab fast?
Same reason David did, to try to put off the consequences.
It really doesn't say that. That happened. I would go not quite that far, but I would go to repentance. I mean, that he recognized that before God he was broken. He was wicked before God. God saw him as absolutely wicked, bereft. And Ahab repented. Crazy. So in recognizing his sin, he repented. And it's interesting that God God didn't just go, you've been so wicked in your past, in the past. No, he even said to Elijah, and I think of the words of God to Satan with regard to Job. Have you seen Job, my servant? And God spoke fondly of Job. And here, God speaks fondly of Ahab, that he repented. And because of that, the punishment was ultimately forestalled. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 3 through 4, Jehoshaphat proclaims a national fast. They are invaded on all sides, and he, not just for himself, he makes the nations to fast. In Psalm 35, verses 13 and 14, David prays for his sick friends. In Ezra 8, 21 and 23, Ezra prays for the improper marriages of the people of Israel. Nehemiah fasts, and Ezra fasted, I'm sorry, fasted and prayed. Nehemiah fasts also for the state of Israel and the broken down walls, that the city essentially is naked to outsiders in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4. Esther, you know, not to be outdone, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, sequentially, Esther prays when, before she goes into Ahasuerus, her husband. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job. Did Job fast? He sat in sackcloth and ashes. It doesn't say he fasted, but I bet you he was fasting in there as well, as he grieved for his sons and he grieved over what was done to him. Darius fasted overnight when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den because he was so grieved over it. So why were people fasting in the Old Testament? What are reasons? What are some reasons people were fasting in the Old Testament?
Grief.
Okay.
Pleading.
What'd you say, Ty?
Pleading.
Sarah, what'd you say?
That was me. I said desperation.
Oh, sorry.
To humble themselves or repent. Moses was hanging with God. I don't exactly know why. Like, why he fasted. He just
did.
He forgot to eat. He might have just been sustained by the Lord. He was in his presence.
Being with God.
Like, I can't imagine there being a more sustaining time.
Yeah, Sarah wouldn't even hear. All right. I mean,
this fast for healing.
Okay. To plead for healing?
They self retrospect.
What's common in these? Is there a kind of a theme here? Are these happy people?
No.
Hey, let's fast. No, you feast when you're celebrating. You fast when... Yeah. All right, New Testament. We'll kind of zip along here. Just some examples. If you would like, I'll try and speak slowly. Luke chapter 2, verse 37. Anna, the prophetess, would go to the temple and she would fast in the temple. Luke 2, 37. The Pharisees fasted. Mark chapter 2, verse 18. The Pharisees and John's disciples fasted. Okay, we'll go back to that passage here a little bit later. Luke 2, 18. Paul, after he was struck blind on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, he fasted for 3 days. Ate nothing. Why? Because he was probably trying to get his arms around what just went down. The church at Antioch, we read about this in Acts chapter 13. They were fasting and praying when the Holy Spirit came upon them to set apart Paul and Barnabas for the mission that God had set for them. And then after that, they fasted and prayed and sent them out. So you might glom those two together, but don't. They were fasting and praying as a church before that. And now that these guys have a mission, we are going to fast on their behalf before sending them out. Kind of a commissional fast there. Jerry covered the fact that as Paul went back through the churches and established elders within the churches, they fasted in establishing elders in Acts chapter 14, verse 23. Who else fasted in the New Testament? Yeah, Sunday school. Jesus fasted. All four Gospels testify to Christ's fast. 40 days and 40 nights. Just like Moses did at the start of his ministry. Okay, and we'll talk about that here a little bit later. So There's fasting in the New Testament. It's common. It was common in the church at that time. What is interesting, though, is how many times do you read about fasting in the epistles, in the letters to the churches? None. I could not find a specific instance of fasting specifically addressed in any of the epistles. None of them. Okay, I'm not going to make an argument from silence on that, but it would have really been helpful if they had laid out the fasting process to those of us in the church, but it doesn't. So what we're going to do is we're going to look a little bit at what Jesus says regarding fasting, because he does. So first place we're going to turn is Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. And 18 through 20. Corbin, would you read Mark chapter 2, verses 18 through 20?
John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. And they came and said to him, "Why do John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus said to them, "While the bridegroom is with them, the attendants of the bridegroom cannot fast, can they? So long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in that day."
Okay. I mean, the bridegroom's here. It's like this is a time of joy. There's no fasting now. You don't fast during a time of joy, but the bridegroom is going to be taken away. Is he still taken away? He's not here. He's not here. He is in heaven. We have the Holy Spirit with us, but he is not here. Will the bridegroom come again? Yes. Will there be fasting in the day when? No. No. Interesting. So Jesus, we see that John's disciples are fasting, the Pharisees are fasting, and by implication, Jesus says there will be a time when the disciples will fast. My disciples will fast. And will be when I am no longer here. Okay. flip back to Matthew chapter 6. This is perhaps his most familiar teaching on fasting. This section in chapter 6, well, let me back up. Chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount, he's talking about the law, lusting. Okay? You know, you've heard it said about lust, about divorce. You've heard it said about oaths. You've heard it said about retaliation, vengeance. You've heard it said. And Jesus Christ puts a clear perspective on all of them to essentially indict them all under the law. So you see in chapter 5 their relationship with the law, and that everybody has fallen short. Okay? In chapter 6, you see him exhorting them in the disciplines that they should have as followers of God. Giving to the needy in verse 2. When you pray. Notice he says in verse 2, when you give to the needy. Verse 5 and verse 7, when you pray. And now the big indictment, when you fast. When you fast. So right from the start, we have it is expected. I mean, he's like, when you go to the store, you're going to do this. So when you do this, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. Okay, so how should you not fast?
Neglect to give an appearance in a way that makes it show that you...
Okay. So it shouldn't be obvious. Oh, yeah, Dave's fasting. Little dark makeup here under the... to make it...
I'll put it on Facebook, too.
So good, good. Oh, good. Nice. So you don't want that. You don't want people to go, hey, look, he's fasting. What should the attitude be? When you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Okay. How then do we reconcile that statement with Jehoshaphat proclaiming a national fast, with Ahab going about dejectedly? How do we reconcile it with the fact that at Antioch they were fasting together? They knew everybody else was fasting too. Jesus says, do it in secret.
He also says the hypocrites want to be noticed by men.
Okay.
You're talking about two distinct viewpoints. One is single, one is corporate or community-wise.
Okay.
With a purpose.
So is Jesus forbidding a corporate fast?
No.
No, not at all.
He's forbidding a show.
It's a
heart issue.
Exactly. It's an intention. It's an intention. To proclaim a national fast as a leader, that would be a responsibility of a leader. You know, we have done wickedly, or we are in grave danger and we need help. We humble ourselves before the God of the universe rightly and plead with him for deliverance. Or help. Or as a church, a great time to fast, again, hindsight is 20/20, was while we were searching for a pastor to call for a collective church fast. You know, to stand up and say as a church, Let me encourage you one day this week, if possible, fast on this day and seek the Lord. And we'll talk about how to fast here a little bit later. But right, it gets down to the intentions of the heart. Is it for God to see me? Hey, God, I'm fasting. Is it for others to see me? Hey, Kate, I'm fasting. No, it's for me to see God, to seek God, to forego something I would naturally be doing so that I can focus on God. Wow, rough Sunday. So why do we and how should we fast? You know, the most common fast is giving up food. Why do we give up food? In Leviticus chapter 16, verses 29 and 31, it talks about the Day of Atonement and that Israel, on the Day of Atonement, should afflict themselves. To afflict themselves. And we go, oh, that's, you know, that's like whipping yourself. And you go, wow. No, it's to fast is to afflict yourself.
Maybe another word is chasten.
Discipline. Let the pain move you. Does God bring pain into our life?
Yes.
Yes. And it should do what? It should drive us to Him. It should, is God far above our pain? I mean, I think of Paul's statement. He speaks of these, and I zapped this to Tracy this week. He speaks of these momentary and light afflictions. Okay, what kind of momentary and light afflictions did Paul endure?
Shipwreck.
Stoning almost to death.
Yeah.
And he calls these momentary light afflictions. You know, 39, 40 lashes minus one, a couple of times. You know, I'd love to see his back. Okay, momentary and light afflictions. Our pain is nothing compared to the glory that we will enjoy. And this is, throughout the New Testament, we see that food is not much. Jesus fasted for 40 days. At the end, he was hungry. I mean, it even says he was hungry. And so Satan went, make it bread.
Take these stones, make them bread.
And what did Jesus say? But? Okay, there is a perspective here. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the Father. Which has supremacy? God. It's lunchtime. I get a tummy ache if I don't eat. Momentary. These are momentary afflictions. Paul indicts the Philippians. This is probably about as close to a mention of fasting in the epistles as you get. He indicts the Philippians, or not the Philippians, but those who are following after the world in Philippians 3:18. They follow after the God of their stomach. The God of their stomach. Pass me another fritter. You know, I live to satisfy myself. I can't even stop eating for God's sake. And he meant that literally and not as a curse. For God's sake, I cannot. Man does not live by bread alone. John chapter 4. John is a great book for getting a good perspective on fasting. John chapter 4, the woman at the well. Why is Jesus alone with the woman at the well?
disciples away.
His disciples went where?
To get food.
To get food! It was lunchtime. So they went into town to get food. And Jesus is hanging out by the well, and here comes the Samaritan woman. He had a divine appointment. Well, the disciples come back in verse 27, and they see Jesus talking to this lady, and they're kind of going, what's going on here? And she goes back into town because Christ had revealed himself to her, and she was in awe, so she went to get people. And verse 31 says, meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, say, Rabbi, eat. We brought the food. And he said to them, I have food to eat that you don't know about. And so the disciples, clueless as always, say to one another, is anyone, somebody bring him something? When we weren't looking, that lady bring him something to eat?
He's been holding out.
Yeah. Jesus said to them, my food, okay, hear this, my food is to do the will of him who sent me to accomplish his work. My food is to do the will of the Father. That is the thing that will satisfy me more than anything else. John chapter 6, at the start of the chapter is the feeding of the 5,000. And everybody's following after him because he fed them. Jesus sticks that in their eye in chapter 6, verse 26. He says, truly I say to you, you're seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Okay? Jesus is calling them to hunger after food that endures to eternal life. Verse 27, do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. What was Christ's food? To do the will of his Father. Jesus says he's going to give us food. What is that food? To do the will of the Son, who's got the will of the Father, so that all may be in all. You know, and this is where this is from which the Catholics draw the Eucharist. But if you read it within the context of John, you don't get that. We're not supposed to feed on his flesh. And in following after him and abiding in him, we have eternal life. I'm going to kind of skip the rest of this. But what we see in John chapter 6 is that Jesus Christ is the bread of life. This is where that comes from. Jesus Christ is the bread of life. That means he is our ultimate satisfaction. In Christ is found our ultimate satisfaction, not in bread. So, why do we give up food? We give up food to afflict our souls, to see that our true satisfaction is not in satisfying my hunger, it's in Christ. I should be driven to Christ. And when I fast, I now am free to do other things like pray more fervently than I would typically pray, or study more intently than I would typically study, or worship the living God more than I would typically worship on an average day. I mean, I should be doing all those things. Should I not? Should these not be exemplified in my life? Yes. But in fasting, I don't have to worry about the preparation. I don't have to worry about the eating of it. I can focus on God. Meditate, research, all these things. So here's some things to consider. Why we fast? What are some bad reasons to fast? Well, I've never done it before, so I'm going to fast. Okay, that's a bad reason. Well, Arnold fasts, so I'm going to fast. I need to lose weight. Okay, that's not a good reason to fast. To be more spiritual. Okay. If that's a bad reason to fast. However, a good reason to fast is to be more spiritual. You know, to be more in tuned with my God. Not to be spiritual, but to follow him in sanctification. I mean, all of these are good reasons to fast, to repent. You know, again, we are going to fast until Jesus returns. And so we fast because we know there's going to be a day where we won't ever. We fast because we long for the Savior to come. We may fast for ministry guidance or to prepare for ministry. You know, if a brother is to go out into the ministry, it would be sweet if some other brothers fasted with him for a day, prayed with him for hours about that, spent time with him in exhortation, encouragement of him on that day. To prevent ill. You know, looks like disaster's coming. Looks like Canada's going to invade. They're at the border. And, you know, to pray nationally, to grieve. To draw closer to the living God, you know, being with God. All of those are great reasons to fast. What should we fast? I don't care. Things that get between you and God. I mean, if you're going to go on a food fast and you're just going to sit and watch football, don't bother. I mean, if you are going on a food fast, you're probably fasting these other things. If Facebook is a stumbling block to you, if whatever that thing is a stumbling, put it away. Fast from that thing. Or the computer or the television. To what? To attune yourself with God, to be with God. For His glory, for our sanctification and holiness before Him. You know, how long? Well, dude, don't set yourself up to fail.
I'm going to go on a 40-day fast starting tomorrow. And you've never fasted before? No.
Probably wouldn't do that. You know, all of these, the prior things need to be in order. What is your intention for doing this? Do you have an intention for doing this? In Scripture, we read about people that fasted for an afternoon. It doesn't even have to be a whole day long. If you've never fasted before, perhaps you've got a decision at work and you want to give up a meal and focus on the living God. Fast for a meal. Fast for a day. Moses did 40 days and 40 nights back to back. Okay, if you read in Scripture, he broke the tablets and then he fasted 40 days and 40 nights in repentance for Israel. So it was a whole lot longer than, I don't know if he had an apple in between. But you're not those guys. Another thing about fasting is you need to consider your peeps, your family. Tracy goes, hey, I'm going to fast for a week. What? Who's cooking? You know? If she's going to go on a fast, would I expect her to be cooking? No. No, but there's going to be an impact on your family. If I'm going to fast, now I'm not at the table, and now the girls are going, where's Dad? Oh, you know, Dad's fasting. There's an impact on the family, and so that really needs to be thought through, that we might, as I fast in love. And, you know, if you're fasting, you're probably not going to expect your kids to fast with you. Okay? Don't do that. How long you're going to fast really is going to depend on your purpose and your intent. And don't hesitate to invite somebody to fast with you, especially if it's really a heartache and a heart burden, because in the church, no doubt we have brothers and sisters who would delight to fast with you for that time. There are dietary needs to consider. I would not, unless God calls you up to a mountain, I would not go 40 days without water. Or, you know, some people will drink juice still just for strength. When I was serving in the military, I couldn't fast. You know, I could not fast. That would put my life in jeopardy. And so there may be times where you cannot. Okay, that doesn't mean you can't still be on your face before God. You may have physical issues or illness that would preclude you from a fast.
Food fast.
Yeah, right, a food fast. And if you are going to go on an extended fast, I would probably read up on it to make sure you take care of your body. And maybe, I don't want to do the old platitude, consult a physician. But, you know, talk to somebody who has before so that you do take care of yourself for your family. I mean, especially in preparation, especially in a commission, especially when you are seeking God's face on a particular issue that is really making you wrestle in your soul. Fasting. It's expected. We should be doing it. And if you haven't, there are things about which we could fast even with regard to the church. You know, our direction, our physical health as a church, for the growth of this church as we lose another member to our church. It's not in numbers. It is in health, spiritual health. But for a body to be many and the gifts to be there, it would. All right. Any final thoughts on fasting?
What I find is it's all, every time the Bible talks about fasting, it's tied to prayer. It's like they're two sides of the same coin. Even in Matthew 6, he talks about prayer, mm-hmm. and then right immediately after that, he talks about fasting.
Yep.
And you see the term fasting and prayer over and over in Scripture. Mm-hmm. And what I've experienced is that during a fast, think about food a lot. And you see the coffee pot over there and a cup of coffee, or you see a bowl of grapes on the kitchen table, or you walk into another room and someone at work, someone's eating something, and then you walk around the corner and someone's drinking a soft drink. Or you, throughout your day, you're seeing all this food and drink all about you. And if you're letting that point you to prayer, you know, I go, oh, there's a cup of coffee. Well, now, what am I praying about today? What's on mm-hmm. my list? What's on the card I wrote out? Mm-hmm. And if all of those are just reminders to pray, then your fast and your prayer are coming together, you know, I think in the way that Scripture describes it.
Mm. Good.
I remember, like Les was saying, I remember my mom fasting when I was little, and she, you know, would ask her, like, why are you doing this? And she would tell us, when I'm hungry, it reminds me to pray. Mm-hmm. Like, when I feel that hunger, like, that it's that I didn't have to set a reminder for something or write it down yeah. somewhere, like, I can feel it, and it reminds me that I need to pray. So.
Or even if you're wanting to draw closer in your relationship with God, draw closer to Him, to go, you are my satisfaction. You know, the fact that I'm going to be full to eternity with God's provision in my life, and I trust you to take care of me here. So I'm going to seek you now. I'll eat tomorrow. I'm going to just enjoy you. Think about you. Think about what you've done in your word. Read His word while you're fasting, and delight in the God who has made us. Out of time. That's it.